A reading from the Song of Songs. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. There shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him.
A reading from the Epistle of Blessed Paul the Apostle to the Church in Rome. Brethren, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Blessed are you among women, O Mary, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Behold, there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and returned to her house. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He who was announced by the archangel and conceived by the Holy Ghost grew in the new Holy of Holies, the womb of Mary. For where God dwells physically, there is the holiest place on earth. In the mysterious, chaste, and uncorrupted confines of Mary's womb, God took on flesh. But his enfleshment followed the beginning of his state of humiliation. His glory and power and majesty were veiled in human form and buried in a sealed womb. He came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary. Hidden or not, faith knows Christ. Faith sees Christ. Even when he conceals himself in a womb, in flesh, in suffering, in bread and wine, the vessel that bears Christ is known by faith. So the Ark of the Covenant was holy because the presence of the glory of God made it holy. And so the virgin vessel that concealed the God of heaven and earth caused Elizabeth to proclaim her, as had the angel, blessed. But this revelation was not of Elizabeth herself. Blessed too was that daughter of Aaron, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to her. It is the Spirit that works faith. It is the Spirit that elicits confession. It is the Spirit that brings men to Christ, and by that Spirit do men know Christ. So the scripture records, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then she spoke. And to the same virgin that the archangel greeted, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Elizabeth proclaimed, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. But like that holy vessel below the mercy seat, her blessedness was not her own. It was only a dim reflection of the divine one who filled her womb. And there was a prophet in that place, a prophet not yet fully formed, the promised Elijah who was to come, a prophet who too was concealed by the matronly barriers of his mother's flesh. Elizabeth's God-given son, the son of Zacharias, whose prayers were heard by God, John, who would baptize, was growing inside of his mother. But as Solomon prophesied 9 centuries before in his superlative song regarding his seed, the Savior, behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up. So at the presence of his Lord, the seed veiled in the lattice of Mary's womb, that bounding nascent prophet obeyed. And in his leaping, he pointed not to himself, not to his mother, not to Mary, but to Christ, Christ yet hidden in Mary's womb. The prophet pointed to the promised prophet, the prophet like Moses who would be raised up from among his brethren. John preached a kinetic prenatal homily, pointing, as all true prophets do, to Jesus. For faith is not restrained by womb or darkness, by barriers or by age. If one must become a child to enter the kingdom of God, how much more John, as he proclaims Christ even before his birth? True faith, saving faith, confesses Christ, even when Christ is veiled and unseen, even when he is humbled and persecuted. Indeed, faith proclaims Christ, even in the face of death. So it is that Solomon prophesied, the watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took my veil away from me. And so it was in fulfillment of those words that the Christ that John proclaimed was stripped of his tunic and crucified. Now his veil was weakness and suffering, humiliation and darkness, abandonment and death. You see, that's how it is with unbelief. Unbelief cannot see Christ. And your sins, your transgressions, your self-indulgent trespasses are signs of that blindness. And were it not for the grace of God, that blindness would end in your eternal separation from him. But that you be saved, that you be freed from sin and eternal death, he who once knew the dark confines of Mary's womb rested 3 days in the dark confines of the garden tomb. In the wisdom God alone can give, David's son, Solomon, prophesied, who is this coming out of the wilderness, like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchant's fragrant powders? So it was that he who led Israel through the desert in the pillar of smoke, still spiced with the wrappings of the grave, emerged from the wilderness of death and emptied the garden tomb. He abandoned that tomb as he had abandoned Mary's womb, miraculously, while still sealed, from the dark womb, birth to life, from the dark tomb, death to new life, eternal life, life that cannot be taken away, life that he shares with all those who believe in him. And yes, he shares that life with you, dear Christian. He shares that life with you, you who are born from above in the water set apart for holy use by John's baptism of the Christ in Jordan waters, waters which flow over Christ and through time and into the font, waters that wash you clean, waters that remove your sin and carry your sins backward and place them upon Christ, who bore them to the cross. In him you are forgiven. In him your sins are removed. In him your death is removed, and you are given new life in the womb of the church, the baptismal font, by the working of the Word of God and his Holy Spirit. Miraculously delivered from Mary's womb without injury to her, he was wrapped in the cloths that pointed to his grave cloths, and he was laid in a manger. For a time, a feeding trough was his abode, showing forth in that house of bread the very bread of life, who would make his body food and his blood drink, not for beasts of burden, but for you, for the forgiveness and life of all those who receive him in faith. And it is yours this day to eat that body and drink that blood, the communion which incorporates you into the body of Christ, which is the Holy Church. For faith knows Christ even when he is hidden. Faith sees Christ even when he conceals himself in bread and wine. The vessel that bears Christ is known by faith. Just as John knew Christ and leapt in the womb, so you know that in bread and wine you receive the same Christ. You eat and you drink, and you receive your Savior, who fills the hungry with good things. And with Mary, your faith, saving faith, confesses, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he who is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.